Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the sexiest podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty.
Hey, Lindsay. Lindsay.
Huh?
Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt you, hon, but it's actually the best podcast in the history of mankind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so maybe you could just do that again.
Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host.
Hey, Lindsay, hang on one second.
What now?
How about you tell them it's the year-end special?
All right.
Okay, cool.
It's the year-end special.
Yeah, it is.
And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
Wow.
So glad you could join me, and God, it's been a while. I didn't even put out an episode in November. I was so busy with other stuff, but I am back. And I am back with not just any other episode. I am back with a year-end special. A lot of times I'll do a Christmas episode in December, and then I'll have a year-end special in January, but not this time. I'm just going to go ahead and recap the year that was 2017. I'm going to give out my Rockcasties, which, if you don't know, are my awards for the best and worst of the year. But I'll also just be doing the regular stuff that I always do, like playing you some cool tunes and reading your emails. And I think I'll do that now because I've gotten a lot of emails since the last episode. Probably because the new Galactic Cowboy album was released back on November 17th. And a lot of you were kind enough to write me and tell me your thoughts. And one such person to do that was Scott Stevens. And Scott said, "Hey, hey, hey, Monty, Long Way Back to the Moon is beyond the description of mortal words. I love all the Galactic Cowboy and Crunchy albums, but Long Way Back to the Moon is even better than Space in Your Face. I may have to stick with the Galactic Cowboy debut as my number one because of the impact the album had on me during grad school. But Monty, I thought your bass tone was perfect. I was wrong. Sorry, Monty, I was wrong. Because your tone on Long Way Back to the Moon is even better. How is that possible? There is no better bass tone on the planet. Even if this is the last Galactic Cowboy album, heaven forbid, I am so honored to possess this album. And I love the Rockcast. Keep up the good work." Well, thank you so much, Scott.
The comments are brilliant.
I've gotten a lot of good feedback about my bass tone on this album, and I really appreciate it. And I gotta give some of the credit to Alan, our drummer and producer of this album. He really knows how to dial in my sound and capture what I do in the studio. And I gotta say, I think this is my favorite tone that I've ever gotten. And it was so easy. I mean, I remember back when we were working on Space in Your Face, I think we spent like 3 or 4 days trying to get a sound, and we were trying all kinds of different amps and basses. And this time we just had everything already set up from when we were working on the songs, and we mic'd it, and that was it.
I mean, it sucks.
Anyway, here's another email. This one's from Eric Malmstrom. I hope that's the way you pronounce it, but he says, "Hi, Monty. I know you're probably flooded with the 'Hey, the new CD is fantastic' messages, and this is another one. I don't know how you have contained yourself since the CD was recorded, knowing just how good this thing is. I mean, yeah, I think you're going to like it is pretty much the vibe I had gotten until it was released from everyone involved. Sure, there was a danger in overhyping it, but this is a case of underhype, if that is a word. It seems like every CD I've ever bought has a filler song, something that I didn't feel was as good as the rest. But this has no such track, zero filler. I can't remember the last time I've heard anything this good. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Eric. And, you know, we can't believe the responses we've got from this thing. But we are so glad that people are liking it, especially our fans. And honestly, the fans are the only ones that I care about at this point. If you guys love it, then I am happy. I mean, we've gotten some good reviews so far from some magazines and stuff, but, you know, those are just writers for the most part, usually. They're going to listen to it once or twice and then give you their opinion. But you guys are the ones that are going to listen to it over and over and take it in and who it's going to mean something to. And I'm very honest when I say this, that I really didn't know what people were going to think. I mean, I thought it was good, but, you know, I lived with it for a couple of years before anybody heard it. I wrote a lot of the songs, and naturally, I'm going to like it. But I have just been so pleasantly surprised at how much people are liking it so far. And another person who liked it was Phil Robinson, who said, "Hey, Monty, we've been conversing by email for quite some time now, and you should know that I'm an unabashed, unashamed Galactic Cowboy fanboy. But when you announced you were doing a new GC record, I have to admit I was a little worried. Time and Time Away has not always been kind to some of my favorite bands I've loved over the years. So when I got Long Way Back to the Moon in my hands, I put the earbuds in, started cleaning the kitchen and puttering around the house, and oh my goodness, I absolutely love it. Well done, I give it 5 bloody metal skulls."
Yeah!
Well, thank you so much, Phil. And yeah, I've heard that a lot from people. They said when they heard we were making a new album, they were very skeptical. And I totally get it. You know, I've heard albums by bands that were away for a while and they come back and they try to recreate what they used to do and it's a total fail. But you know, just speaking for myself, I didn't try to recreate anything. I just did what I've always done, which was just try to write really good songs. And apparently we did, according to the feedback we've been getting so far from you guys. So once again, we really appreciate you buying the album, and we're so glad you're digging it.
Who gives a crap?
All right, let's see. Next email is from Ed Whelan, who says, "Dude, so with you regarding soccer. I can't stand it. I just don't get it."
Huh?
Oh, okay. Well, I was expecting something about the new Galactic Cowboy album, but thanks, Ed. I appreciate your email. And yeah, soccer sucks.
It really does.
All right. Well, I'm going to do just one more email, so let's make it a good one. And this one is from Jimmy G in Chicago. And if you've listened to my show before, you know that Jimmy is a Rockcast Hall of Famer. He writes me all the time, and he's one of my favorite listeners. In fact, Jimmy is such a good listener that I gave Jimmy his own theme song. And so let's hear it right now.
He's from Chicago. He's a champion. He's got some questions.
Jimmy G.
Okay, well, let's see what Jimmy has for us today. There's no top tens, but he does have a question. And he says, "Hey, Monty, I couldn't make it to Houston for the show. How did it go?" Well, excellent question, Jimmy. And I'm not just going to tell you about the show itself. I'm going to tell you about everything that happened to it prior and after.
No one cares about this.
So let's go back and start like about a month before the show when I started practicing. And the first thing we had to do was figure out what songs we were going to play, which was not easy. Because we got 7 albums worth of stuff now, and we weren't going to do the whole new album, but we wanted to do some of it. And we knew a lot of people would want to hear some of the old stuff, so we picked some of those. And once I had a list together, I put them in my iTunes in a playlist. And each day I would just go through and play along with the songs and try to relearn them. And some of those tunes I had never played live. Other tunes I hadn't played in about 20 years. But after a week or so, I was starting to feel it again. And before you know it, it was time to go down to Houston. And I flew down a few days before the show. And of course, you got to go to the airport and go through security. And I hate that because usually the security people are such jerks. They treat us all like we're convicted criminals, and they just make you feel like dirt. It's usually like, sir, would you remove your computer, your hat, your coat, and your shoes, and while you're at it, take your pants off.
And they will squeeze your genitals.
So I'm a little nervous, but I go through the line, and I throw my bags on the conveyor belt, and the guy looks at me and notices I have a Ted Nugent shirt on. And he says, where's Ted Nugent living? And I'm thinking, well, I didn't know there was going to be a quiz involved in this, but I said, well, I think it's Detroit. And he says, uh-huh, well, you know, Katy Perry was in here last week. And I was like, oh, yeah, oh, that's great. And then he took my can of shaving cream and threw it away.
They're going to grab your genitals.
So that was kind of weird, but I got through, I made it to Houston, and we started rehearsals. And that went really well. We just set up our stuff in Alan's house where we had recorded the album. And we'd start every day about 10:30 in the morning and we'd go till about 6 that night. And then Ben would take me to the hotel where I'd just kind of hang out till the next morning when he picked me up. And we did this each day until Thursday, the day before the show, in which we had an in-store there in Houston. And it was at Cactus Records. Yes, they still have record stores in Houston. And we told them we'd do an acoustic set. And I'll be honest, I hate doing acoustic shows because it kind of goes against everything I believe, which is that rock and roll should be loud, aggressive, and at times violent. But I agreed to do it anyway, and so around 2 o'clock we started loading our stuff up, and I was helping Dane out the door with his pedal board. And I know what you're thinking, if it's an acoustic show, why is he bringing his pedal board? Well, I don't know. But I said, hey, I'll get that for you, Dane, and I'm carrying it out the front door, and all of a sudden I felt myself kind of stumble. And the next thing I knew, I had run into this palm tree stump. And it had all these freshly cut, jagged little stems sticking out of it. And I raked the side of my leg against it, and it just shredded me. And I looked down, and I've got about 5 or 6, I'd say 8-inch cuts on my leg. And I'm standing there bleeding, and I'm like, oh, great. Just in time to go do this in-store.
I mean, this guy is such a total pussy, it's stunning.
But nothing's gonna stop me from doing a meet and greet with our fans in a record store. And so I put some Neosporin on my wounds, and we proceeded to go down to Cactus Records.
You're a hero, and we salute you, sir.
So we get there, and we're getting ready to set up, and I look across the street, and I see there's this guitar shop named Rockin' Robin. And I told somebody, you know, the first bass I ever bought when I moved to Houston was at that store. And so I walked over there just to kind of be nostalgic, and it turned out it was just exactly like it was 30 years ago. They had an amazing collection of guitars, I mean, way better than Guitar Center has. And they had this bass room all to itself, and so I go walking back there, and I start looking around, and I look over, and there's this Epiphone Les Paul bass hanging there. And I'd been looking on the internet for one of those things, and it's black, and I pick it up, and I start playing it, and it plays great. And I start thinking, I want to buy this thing. And so I take it and I go ask the owner of the store, hey man, what can you do for me on this? And he says, how about $225? And I said, okay, I will take it. Well, it didn't come with a case, but I said, I'll get that later. And I just took it and went walking with this bass across the street. And I get back to the store and I'm telling the guys, look at this thing. I can't believe I found it. And they were like, very cool. And we start setting up to do the acoustic show. And all of a sudden, this guy from Rockin' Robin comes in. And he walks over to me, and I'm thinking, what's this guy want? And he's like, hey, is this your wallet? And, of course, I knew it was mine because it said Ramones on it. So I said, yeah, that's mine. Did I leave that? And he's like, yeah, you did. And I went, oh, God, I must have been so excited about the bass, I just ran off and left it.
Guess what? You're a dummy.
So I avoided a catastrophe on that, but we still had an acoustic show to do. And I always kind of secretly dread these in-store things because I don't want it to be like a Spinal Tap moment where nobody shows up. But fortunately, some people did show up and we had a nice little crowd. And we played about 5 songs for about 30 minutes, and then we signed some CDs, and that was that.
This is an extremely interesting story.
But that would bring us to Friday, the day of the show. And believe it or not, we got together that morning and ran through the whole set. And then we loaded everything up, and we drove down and got to the club about 4:30. And I'm thinking it had been over 20 years since I'd been to Fitzgerald's. And this club has been there since, like, the 70s. I remember it from the 80s when I first moved to Houston, and it really didn't seem like it had changed that much. It's really just kind of an old blues club. It kind of looks like it was an old house once upon a time. And you have to carry your equipment up these stairs that are on the side of the building. But fortunately, my buddy Jeffrey Elliott showed up with his friend Jeff. And yes, the Jeffs helped us load in, and I was much appreciative of that. And pretty soon, some other people started coming in that we knew. For instance, Doc Green from Houston, he got there early, and Lacey from Washington, D.C., she flew all the way in for the show, and she caught sound check. And my good friends Mark and Jerry Walshack came from Austin to see us, and they were there early also. And so we had a little bit of a crowd there, even for sound check, and sound check went on seemingly for hours. And actually, it wasn't seemingly hours, it was hours. And we didn't get done with sound check till around 8 o'clock, but you know, I felt pretty good about it, and I was ready to go. But there was still a few hours before we went on, and so I still had time to go back to the hotel. And by that point, my wife Lindsay had gotten there. She flew in from Kansas City. And we went out to eat with the Walshacks, and some of Lindsay's friends had driven like 10 hours to get there. And they came with us. They were April and her daughter Macy. And April told me that it was a long trip, but the whole way there, they listened to the Rockcast. And I thought that was awesome, and I really appreciated everybody who made the trip. There was people from Dallas and Detroit and people who came from Atlanta. And it was great to see everybody.
You kind of want this story just to end, don't you?
Now, there was an opening band. They were called The Contagious, and they were these 16-year-old kids. And I know that sounds kind of iffy, but they were great. And I stood there backstage and watched them, and they rocked. Apparently, they were a band that Dane had discovered somewhere, and I really liked them. But after they were done, it was time for us to go on, and it was around 10:45 when one of the roadies came back to the dressing room and said, "Okay, you guys are all set." And so we walked on stage, and I put on my bass, and I was ready to crush some skulls, and all of a sudden I looked over, and Dane was like looking at his pedal board, and I thought, oh no, this does not look good. And that's when I remembered, oh yeah, every time we have a show, something technical always goes wrong. And there was about 3 guys over there trying to help him figure it out, but it was obvious after a while this pedal board thing was not going to happen. And Ben and I were just standing there for about 5 or 10 minutes, and we finally just went, hey, let's just walk around and start meeting people. And so that's what we did. We just started shaking hands with everybody and seeing some old friends, and it was really pretty fun. It was actually kind of a nice way to start a show. In fact, maybe we should do that every time.
Yeah, no.
But Dane finally got his sound going, and we kicked into the first song, and it was just like it was 1989 all over again. Even though this was our record release show, we knew people would want to hear some of the old stuff. So we did quite a bit off the first album. We did a couple things off Space in Your Face, and then we threw in things like Stress and Set Me Free. But of course, we wanted to do some of the new songs because we'd been dying to play this stuff. And the rehearsals had just gone great all week. No technical difficulties or anything. But we get ready to do the new song, Zombies, and I come out there with my bass, and I start the intro, and right as I start it, the strap on my bass just breaks. Literally, the screw just rips right out of the body. And my bass tech, instead of helping me, was over on the other side of the stage helping Dane try to fix his pedal board. And so I'm just standing there like an idiot trying to play this song, with my leg up in the air, trying to balance the bass while I'm trying to sing. And this is where I gotta stop and say, people do not appreciate me quite enough. Because I'll tell you, I go to a lot of shows and I watch the musicians and these bass players, and I don't see any of them running around like a maniac and still trying to sing harmony vocals. And it's moments like those when I have a strap break or something go out that I realize, wow, I've got a lot going on here. I wish I could just stand here like John Entwistle, but I'm more like Pete Townsend. I got to get into it. That's who I am.
A complete weirdo.
But trust me, the problems didn't end with my strap or Dane's guitar pedals. There was some kind of hum or feedback or something going on that was just driving us all crazy. And I don't know if the sound was that bad out front, but on stage it was horrible. But on nights like that, you just fight through it and try to have a good time anyway, and that's what I did. And regardless of all the technical bullcrap, the crowd really seemed to be enjoying themselves. And so we just tried to rock their brains out, and toward the end of the night when we were doing the end of Speak to Me, we just stopped playing and the crowd kept singing. And they were doing the yeah, yeah, yeahs, and I just looked at them and went, wow, this is so incredibly cool. So it really ended with one of those special moments I'll never forget. And afterwards, we went out front and just hung out with people till about 3 in the morning. And it turned out to be a wonderful night. The weather was beautiful that day, and the people were really into the show. And if you came to it, we really appreciate you coming. And if you didn't, we missed you. But that was it. I got to sleep about 4:30, and Lindsay and I got up the next morning about 8. We went to the airport and flew back to Kansas City. Why? Well, because we had tickets to go see Hollywood Undead and the Butcher Babies. And even though we were exhausted and looked kind of like the Walking Dead ourselves, we went and had a pretty good time. It wasn't as good as the Galactic Cowboys show, but still. Hollywood Undead actually put out a pretty good album themselves this year, and here's a little bit of that.
Situation's critical, stick it to the
Okay, so that's Hollywood Undead. I really liked their album and that song, but I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of top tens of my favorite songs this year because I know you don't really care.
That's correct.
I am going to, however, do my annual Rock Casty Awards. This is the best and worst of everything for the year, and I'm going to start out with Best TV. And this is very difficult because I watch a lot of TV, but I don't like hardly anything that I watch. There are a couple of reality shows like Big Brother that I liked, but when it got to the finale, it just all turned to crap. And I liked a series on Netflix called Ozark. It had Justin Bateman in it. That was pretty good, but it had a lot of holes in it. I think you know what I mean. You're watching along and all of a sudden you go, yeah, that would never happen. And then I thought, okay, well, what was the show I probably watched more than anything all year? And that would be the Kansas City Royals baseball games. I sat through about 181 games, and even though they didn't have a great year, I love my Royals. And so, Kansas City Royals baseball, best TV.
Boring!
Now, what was the worst thing on TV? Oh my God, sit back and relax, because this is going to take a while. One show stood out above all the others, but before I tell you what it is, the list of nominees is almost endless. And the first nominee is a Nickelback concert that I watched on the AXS channel. It was live at Red Rocks, and I get that, you know, you have to have a certain amount of talent to write a lot of hit songs. And I suppose Nickelback is a pretty good band. But I've always hated their douchey lyrics, and as I watched this, I kind of realized that they've basically turned into a country band. I mean, when they first burst onto the scene, they were kind of like Metallica Light. They had some songs that were kind of heavy, but there was nothing scary about them. And I would have been fine with that, but the problem was is that Metallica begat Nickelback, and Nickelback begat Shinedown. And Shinedown begat Theory of a Dead Man. And it was just this chain reaction that eventually ended up with douche rock. And so I will not ever forgive them for that.
They will go to hell.
Another music-related show that I hated was the American Music Awards. This show is always awful, but I watch it so you don't have to. You're welcome. And this year was no different. All the performers on the show follow the same formula, which is, if you surround yourself by enough backup dancers, it will appear as if you are talented. However, one of the few people who didn't do that was Pink, because she's always got to be suspended by a wire and fly around as she sings. And I've always thought, you know, what's next for her? Is she going to hang herself off the side of a building like a window washer? Yeah, that's what she did.
Cool.
Outside of that, though, there were no surprises. It was a lot of boy bands, Imagine Dragons, Bruno Mars, and Lady Gaga. And by the end, I'd had my fill of a lot of shitty bands, singers, and actors all telling me, we just need to love. We need equality. We've all gotten way too divided this year. Oh, is that right? Well, thanks for the message, you Hollywood nitwits. My message for you is that your music and your stupid award show suck.
You're hateful.
Another show that likes to preach to me that I found absolutely horrible this year was Saturday Night Live. I mean, I get it, you know, Lorne Michaels, the cast, and all the writers are complete leftists, but how about they come up with a skit once in a while that might be slightly, I don't know, funny?
That will never happen.
The days of laughing your ass off at somebody like Will Ferrell are long gone. It seems like 90% of the sketches are political, while the jokes are written on a level that seem to be aimed at a 15-year-old high schooler. Either way, SNL this year was good for about maybe one laugh per show, but most of the time I didn't laugh at all.
So did you like it or not?
Now, the Rockcasty last year for my favorite TV show was The Walking Dead. We binge-watched about 6 seasons, and I thought it was really good. But I gotta tell you, that show has gotten so bad in the last 2 seasons that now it's one of my least favorite shows. However, to be fair, it's not nearly as bad as Fear the Walking Dead. I know, there's a song in the new Galactic Cowboys album named Zombies. But it was about 2 years ago when I started writing that, and as of today, I am completely zombied out. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I actually root for the zombies to kill off the main characters in these shows. And I'm guessing as a viewer, that's probably not what I'm supposed to be doing, right?
I don't think so.
Anyway, all that to say, there was a lot of bad shows on this year. But the worst piece of crap that I laid my eyes on was, without a doubt, Two Broke Girls.
Oh!
I understand that it got canceled and it probably shouldn't bother me, but it still continues to haunt me in syndication.
This is a sick nightmare!
I challenge anyone to tell me what in the hell is funny about that show. I mean, have you ever watched the old Andy Griffith or Dick Van Dyke shows? Have you seen Seinfeld? That, my friends, was comedy. The only good thing about Two Broke Girls is it actually makes me feel better about my own life. Because I know if a piece of crap like that can get on TV and be successful, well, it gives me hope that I can accomplish anything.
No.
The next Rockcasty I will give out is for the best and worst trend of 2017. But it's the same award since they're kind of the same thing. And there was many. You had the NFL players all kneeling. And then they were doing the goofy TD celebrations. And of course it was popular and trendy to just blame everything on Donald Trump.
That's right.
If there was a riot, it was Trump's fault.
Yeah!
If you had an accident, or you lost your job, or you got sick, it was Trump's fault.
Who didn't know that?
If it was too hot, too cold, or it started raining, Trump.
Works for me.
And then you had all those people that were just upset at Trump in general, and they just go outside and start screaming. Nice trend.
Morons!
But my favorite trend and winner of the Rockcasty is actors and politicians getting busted for sexual harassment.
Woo!
Oh yeah, all these people who are griping about Trump being such an awful guy, they were up to no good themselves. You had Al Franken and Harvey Weinstein, and then it was just somebody different every day. And I'll be honest, after a while, I started worrying myself. And so what I decided to do is just come clean right here on the Rockcast. Because I'm sure it's going to come out eventually anyway, and so I thought I'd just go ahead and admit it right now that yes, on many occasions, I have groped my wife.
What?
Yes, I know a lot of you are probably disappointed in me. Still, the truth is there's a whole lot of groping going on, oftentimes in our kitchen, when the kids aren't looking.
You are scum of the earth.
However, in fairness, she has also sexually harassed me many, many times. And in about 10 or 15 years, I will be making a formal complaint. But right now, I don't really mind at all. Now, I'm sure somebody will get offended at what I just said because we live in a day and age where everyone gets offended at everything. So let me just make it clear, I do not condone sexual harassment. I realize that's very serious. And if you ever got groped by Al Franken, I'm sorry. I'm sure that was horrific. So just relax, I don't want any dumbass little weasels putting a video up on YouTube saying bass player for Galactic Cowboys thinks sexual harassment is great. Because I do not think that, I did not say that.
You sure about that?
I realize there's some bad men out there harassing women and that's bad. However, let me just say this, please, could we not go overboard on it? Everything isn't sexual harassment. Sometimes people are just trying to be nice and give compliments. But it's like I was telling somebody the other day, remember that commercial back in the 70s for Mr. Microphone? You had these young guys in a convertible and they're driving down the street with something that was kind of like a megaphone. And they pass this girl on the sidewalk and they yell, "Hey, good looking, be back to pick you up later." And I thought, you know, that commercial could not be made today because someone would be upset about that.
Sexist!
All right, what's next? Okay, how about the Rock Casty for Album of the Year? I gotta be honest, there wasn't much out there that I liked this year, but I got a couple nominees. And the first one is 0 Days by Prong. I really like this Prong album because it had some really good songs and the guitars were just so nasty and thick. And for a heavy band like this, they came up with some awesome choruses and catchy melodies.
They're not that good!
My next nominee for Album of the Year is Mastodon, Emperor of Sand. And believe it or not, it's not because I just loved every song, but instead, I'm picking it for its overall musical value. And the more I listen to this, the more I start to realize just how brilliant Mastodon is. They have 3 different lead vocalists, which is kind of rare and unique in metal. The riffs and the guitar playing is exceptional, and the drummer is just freaking amazing. It gets kind of trippy and psychedelic at times, but overall just very heavy and melodic. So that was Mastodon, but the Rock Casty for Album of the Year goes to none other than Galactic Cowboys' Long Way Back to the Moon.
No kidding.
I mean, don't act surprised. It was the obvious choice. It's great stuff, and I don't know why anyone wouldn't like this. It's well written, it rocks, and there's memorable melodies on every single song. So congratulations, Galactic Cowboys. You're the winner of the Album of the Year.
Next joke!
Continuing on with the Rock Casty Awards, the next category is Best Movie of 2017. But like usual, I didn't go to a lot of movies this year. In fact, I can only think of one that I went to a theater to see, and that was Spider-Man. And normally I wouldn't have cared anything about this kind of thing because I'm not that into action movies, but it did have kind of a twist in that Spider-Man was in high school. And it had a pretty decent story to it, and I sat there and ate popcorn for a couple hours, and it was a pretty good time. So, therefore, the Rock Casty for Best Movie goes to Spider-Man.
That's the best you can do.
The next category is for the most overhyped person or thing in 2017. And the first nominee is Colin Kaepernick.
Who that?
Never has anyone in the history of mankind ever gotten so much attention for just simply dropping to one knee. I personally found him to be misinformed and at best disrespectful to our country. But when GQ magazine named him Man of the Year, I had had enough. There were athletes who raised millions of dollars for flood victims, and yet this guy is somehow held up as some kind of hero.
The stupidity!
Something else I feel like has been way overhyped is bullying.
What did you just say?
Yes, I realize I'm supposed to feel very bad for any kid that gets bullied. And I'm supposed to get a tear in my eye when I see a video on Facebook of a little boy that got food thrown at him at school.
Well, yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, but I got bullied in high school and junior high. Why? Because kids are assholes.
Oh!
Why are kids mean and bully other kids? Because they were raised by parents who are assholes. And regardless of how much the schools and society want to talk about anti-bully campaigns and all of that, it's never going to change. And so my advice to any kid that is being bullied right now, well, it would be the same advice that I was given by my junior high counselor. Okay, you're being bullied. How about you grow a pair and just deal with it?
Well, isn't that nice?
Yeah, and honestly, I wouldn't even really worry about your kids. Because if they're anything like mine, unless you take their cell phone or laptop away, I think they'll be fine. I mean, I think I could literally die and they wouldn't be as upset as if they had, lost their Wi-Fi connection. I mean, that may sound a little extreme, but it's pretty close.
Thank you for exaggerating.
So those are a couple of things that are overhyped, but nothing and no one is more overhyped than LeBron James.
Say what?
All right, already. He's the best player on the planet, and he's also the most arrogant. But does he really have to be on every commercial, every TV show, every sports center? I mean, come on, it's just LeBron, LeBron, LeBron.
Yeah, so?
I don't need to know everything that he does every single minute of every day. And I don't need to hear every single word that comes out of his mouth. And furthermore, I don't even really need to see him play anymore. I've had enough of that.
Do you like LeBron James or not?
Now, the Rockcasty for most surprising celebrity death, I'm going to go with Tom Petty. I knew he was getting a little older, but I did not see that coming. There were also people like Monty Hall from Let's Make a Deal. Remember him? Well, I know I sure do, because I got called Monty Hall a million times when I was in grade school. Hey, Monty Hall, want to make a deal? Oh, that's hilarious. It's almost as funny as, hey, where's your snake, Monty Python?
Ha ha ha.
But Monty Hall, he will be missed. As will Malcolm Young from AC/DC, who won't be missed. Well, how about Charlie Manson? My reaction when I heard he died? Good. When a person like him is that horrible and useless, why do we make taxpayers foot the bill to keep him alive?
Well, I don't know.
All right, so how about the least surprising celebrity death? You had Jerry Lewis and Hugh Hefner, who were both 91. And even Batman, Adam West, was 88. So I wasn't shocked at any of those. But the least surprising to me was comedian Ralphie May. I don't know if you ever saw him, but even though he was in his early 40s, he looked like he weighed about 450 pounds. And so when I heard he died from a heart attack, I was not only not shocked, I was surprised that he lasted as long as he did.
I'll admit I've never heard of the guy.
Switching back to music, the Rockcasty for Worst Rock Moment. Well, let's see, you had Dire Straits and somebody named Nina Simone getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before Judas Priest. And you had Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington both kill themselves. That was bad. But I think we can all agree that the worst moment in rock this year is when the singer for Queens of the Stone Age kicked a female photographer in the face.
Oh my God!
Yeah, did you see this? They got video of it.
This is terrible.
He's playing guitar, he walks out to the front of the stage, and there's this girl taking pictures, and for no reason, he just boots her right in the face.
This can't be real.
Yeah, I am outraged, and I think this guy should be banned from any stage anywhere in the world.
Totally.
Not because he kicked some girl in the face.
Huh?
No, it's because he's the singer for Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, okay.
I'll forgive him for doing something stupid. I mean, we all make mistakes. But Queens of the Stone Age, yeah, that's unforgivable.
I hate him.
And finally, the award for Best Podcast and winner of the Rock Casty this year goes to Monty's Rockcast.
What a surprise.
Oh, wow. I cannot believe this.
Nobody saw this coming.
Oh, man. Well, I didn't have a speech prepared, so I don't know what to say. I'm just honored.
It's so rigged.
But I'll tell you, this could not have been possible without you, the listeners. And I just want to thank all of you guys for your support, for buying the Rockcast t-shirts, for your kind donations, your top tens, and for your emails. Speaking of which, the other day I discovered on my phone I had all these emails that hadn't been delivered. And so I just wanted to let you know, if you wrote me and I didn't write back, I always try and answer all of my email. And so if you didn't get anything back from me, I'm sorry. There was something wrong with my iPhone, and so it wasn't my fault, but try me again. Because I love hearing from you, and I'm not one of those douchey guys that won't write you back.
Yes, you are.
All right, before I go, wanted to let you know that Galactic Cowboys have a new video up on YouTube for the song Zombies. Make sure you check that out, because you wouldn't believe what we went through trying to get that thing made. We literally had to shoot it twice. I had to go down to Houston two different times. And it was supposed to come out right before Halloween, but naturally it comes out right before Christmas.
Nah!
So by all means, please go to YouTube and watch it so I don't feel like it was a complete waste of time and money.
It was.
I'm going to end the show with one more song, and this is a holiday favorite. It's a classic called Baby, It's Cold Outside. But it's not the Tom Jones version or Dean Martin version or even the Lady Gaga version. No, this is one that Lindsay and I did about a year ago. And we changed it up just a little bit and put in our own lyrics. And I hope you'll like it. But that's going to do it for me for now. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I will be back soon with more fun and mayhem. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah, it's December.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Do you think you'd mind?
I'd do anything for you.
Scraping my windshield off.
Well, no, I'm not gonna do that.
I'm feeling really stabby today.
That's all right, we could watch the game.
I hate football, it's gay.
Well, now that's kind of harsh.
Somebody's gonna get punched in the face.
Gee, what's up with you?
I can't feel my nose.
Baby, it's cold outside.
My fingers are toast.
Baby, it's cold outside.
You know, I'm freezing my ass off.
You should probably wear a coat.
This is some bullshit.
You're beautiful when you're angry.
I've got to get to work.
Yeah, right.
Traffic's gonna be a bitch.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I have nothing to wear.
Oh, for the love of God, would you quit complaining?
So, are you picking the kids up from school or not?
Well, yeah, I guess.
I swear to God, if somebody doesn't do those dishes.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm about to lose it. Happy freaking New Year.